Good morning. I'm Sheila Cass. We're on the record. Many factors play into why a family finds itself without adequate food to put on the table. The loss of jobs and the pandemic's inroads in some people's incomes have pushed the numbers of those in need to staggering levels. How has that shaped the picture of hunger in Maryland? To answer that question with precision, the Maryland Food Bank created the Maryland Hunger Map. It's a detailed look at where there is need and where there are gaps in assistance. In August, I spoke with Meg Kimmel, Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer of the Maryland Food Bank. The nonprofit began collecting state data in 2018. Federal data about poverty levels and unemployment already exists. I asked Kimmel, why create this tool?
For exactly the reason the case you begin to build right there is that there is a lot of publicly available data that anyone has access to. And at the food bank, we also have detailed data on the work that we do. So we know exactly where our food is going, through what programs, into which communities. And so what we wanted to do was marry those two things together to give our team the ability to see our work up against some indicators of need and to visualize that. So as you described earlier, so that they're able to see where there are gaps, maybe underserved, maybe unserved areas.
So what layers of information does this version of the Maryland Hunger Map include?
So we include four basic layers of data, actually five. One is Feeding America data, which we've always relied on heavily to help us understand hunger in our state. We look at the federal poverty level, which has some advantages and some disadvantages. It's a good data set, but we also are very knowledgeable about the fact that food insecurity exists well above the federal poverty line. So it's a piece of information, but it's not the whole picture. And so we went through a lot of work internally to decide what else to include in the map. And one of the data sets that we are really excited to be able to access is the United Way's ALICE data. And ALICE stands for Access Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. And what that means is people who are working and still not able to make ends meet. And that's where about 40 to 45% of food insecurity is in that category. So we combine those two things. And then we also added in a couple of new layers, which I'm happy to talk more about, which is a housing instability data set from the Urban Institute and also Maryland unemployment insurance claims.
So you layer this information onto a map, and what key insights show up?
So one of the great things for us that these data layers do is that they visualize what we call hunger hotspots. And those are areas where those indicators will tell us there are levels of hardship and need. And then we can also look at where we are already distributing food, and we can put those two things together. So we have a team here, our programs team, and what their job is to look at the map. And we have actually a more detailed map internally as well. To understand where there might be gaps. Are there communities that are now looking like there's higher levels of need where we don't have programming? Are there communities where it looks like we're doing a pretty good job of meeting the need? So it allows us to be more strategic and targeted with our programming, which is critically important because we obviously want to be in the right communities at the right time and reaching the right people.
Well, what were the surprises, if any, that the data revealed?
Right. So that's a great question. And I would say that this, what we did right now is we just refreshed the data coming out of COVID. And there actually weren't that many surprises. The surprises came when we built the map in the first place. So back in 2018, 2019, when our programs team took a look at the map and they were able to see things like, oh, I see this county where there's a very high level of child hunger, and yet we don't have very many school pantries. And so then that our program strategists are able to go and say, okay, we're going to launch 3, 4, 5 new school pantries here. What we have today and why the map refresh is so important is A, because data needs to be refreshed, that happens anyway, and also because of COVID. So we know that food insecurity is a much larger problem in Maryland coming out of the pandemic, and yet the data sets are slow to refresh and reflect change. So when we added in the housing instability layer from Urban Institute, which is predictive, and also the state's unemployment insurance claims, which are real time, that allows us the first indications where we can see on a map geographically where new areas of need might be showing up. So that's been a really great tool for the team.
The map has something called hardship drivers. What are hardship drivers?
Food insecurity is almost never exists in a vacuum. People aren't hungry or lacking access to food because they lack access to food. There's some other reason that they're in that situation. So most often, if you run it down to ground to the root cause, you'd be looking at some kind of lack of financial resources. However, that can show up in different ways. It could show up in someone not having stable housing or someone not being able to get their car fixed or put gas in the tank to get to a job, so lack of transportation. It may be an inability to fully participate in the workforce because of childcare or family care needs. So hardship drivers are those other, the healthcare systems would call them social determinants of health. We call them root causes, but they're the other reasons that people will have to make tough choices as to whether to access food or not. And so these are critically important to us as we go forward, because we will always be a food bank and we care very deeply about food distribution. And at the same time, we want to do more to address those root causes by partnering with other organizations to help make sure that folks are able to become secure and stabilized and then no longer need a food bank.
That's Meg Kimmel, Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer of the Maryland Food Bank. On the Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the food bank's in-depth look at food insecurity throughout the state, the Maryland Hunger Map. So I'm guessing hardship drivers really lit up during and after the pandemic.
Absolutely. And you can see that if you look at the map by looking at those unemployment insurance claims. So those are way up, as everyone is probably well aware. And the other piece for us is that we've been around, Maryland Food Bank's been around for nearly 43 years at this point. We have worked through the Great Recession, 2008, 2009, government shutdowns. We know that it takes a very long time for food insecurity numbers to decline after they spike. And so this for us is also an important reminder and a great way to communicate the fact that food insecurity is not going away when the pandemic goes away and everyone gets back to life and work and school. So we're prepared to be in this work for a long time to come.
Well, what changes will Maryland Food Bank implement to address what's been revealed by the map?
So really, ever since March, April, May of 2020, our organization has been working at twice its previous capacity in terms of the food we distribute, in terms of the number of events that we hold. We're two times bigger and doing two times as much as we did before the pandemic. And so we need to stay there. We're going to need to stay there for some time to come. And so that will influence our future work. We need to continue to be able to partner effectively with local jurisdictions, counties, cities, the state of Maryland, other nonprofits, healthcare systems to do this work. And at the same time, we've just gone through a process internally to begin to turn our attention back to some of our more strategic root cause efforts that we were working on before the pandemic. Because as much as we want to continue to feed Maryland, that's part of our job. We know we need to get back to doing more work to help people as they're navigating back into the workforce, right? Can we provide food to someone who's out of work as they're going through a workforce reentry or training program? Can we help make sure that people who have to stay at home because they have chronic disease, can we make sure that they have access to food? So we want to really be able to do that more careful, targeted work alongside the large at scale work that we do around food distribution.
Tell me more about who you envision will use this map.
Well, we hope that it's a great resource for a few key groups outside of our team. One of the silver linings that I like to talk about coming out of COVID is that many more people are aware of the issue of food insecurity, and that includes local governments. I've had many, many conversations with folks in county governments and city governments really wanting to understand early on during the pandemic, what are you guys doing at the Maryland Food Bank? Where's your network? Who's in it? How much food are you distributing? Because all of a sudden it was a crisis and a pressing problem. And so we really wanted to refresh the data so that that information is out there and it's available. Anybody can go to our website now and they can see exactly where the Maryland Food Bank is working in a community, in a county, and across the state. That's important because there are a lot of people in the space. It's not just the Maryland Food Bank. And so we hope that this tool will become a way to collaborate and make sure that organizations are working in an integrated way and that we're stretching resources as far as we can. So that's one. And the second piece I'd say is for research, for academics, for planners, and just for anyone who's really interested in gaining a deeper understanding of what food insecurity looks like in our state today.
What do you most want our listeners to understand about the profile of hunger that exists in Maryland?
There are so many people in our state, even before the pandemic, who are food insecure, who are working. It might be your grocery store clerk. It could be someone who's delivering a package to your house. It could be an aide in a medical setting or in a school. Maryland is a very expensive state to live in, and food is often out of reach for families that are really stretching to make ends meet. So, I think that just awareness of how pervasive the issue is, and also that it's food insecurity is our estimates at the Maryland Food Bank are that as many as 2 million Marylanders will face food insecurity this year. And that's one in three, which is a staggering statistic.
One in three residents of Maryland.
That's right. That's right.
Will face food insecurity.
There's a lot of work to do.
Meg, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you so much.
Meg Kimmel is Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer of the Maryland Food Bank. We spoke last month about the latest data from the Maryland Hunger Map. It's a comprehensive look at where food insecurity is most pervasive around the state and where there are gaps in assistance. Now a short break on the record, and then we'll hear about the latest outreach efforts by Meals on Wheels and why the University of Maryland Medical System is prioritizing food insecurity. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the face of hunger in the Old Line State. It's coming into clearer focus with the new Maryland Hunger Map that we just heard about from the Maryland Food Bank. The map is a tool that pinpoints where hunger exists and where there are gaps in addressing it. The University of Maryland Medical System is also stepping up the fight against food insecurity. It recently announced it's putting $1.2 million into the effort. When Dr. Mohan Suntha, president and CEO of UMS, joined us last month, I asked what's behind this decision to focus on hunger in Maryland. Why now?
So at the medical system, we have understood what it means to live out our obligations and responsibilities as anchor institutions. And when you think about the health and welfare of our communities, while we certainly focus on delivering the highest quality healthcare within the walls of our institutions, we also think about the important role we play in supporting what we refer to as the social determinants of health. And nutrition is foundational to determining the overall health and wellness of an individual and of communities. And we've made this commitment quite a while ago. And so this is the latest example of how we are leaning in to those responsibilities.
How will this money be distributed?
So we are partnering with organizations who understand the challenges of food insecurity. So between the Maryland Food Bank, the Capital Area Food Bank, Movable Feast, Meals on Wheels, we are providing direct grant support to those organizations who have identified the most vulnerable members of our communities in locations throughout all of the communities that our medical system serves in order to provide supplies for food, and prepared meals in these communities.
UMS has 150 locations, including 13 hospitals and 9 urgent care centers around the state. What are the areas of focus for this money?
So literally across all of the communities that we're blessed to serve, we're distributing some resources. There are obviously parts of our communities that are disproportionately affected by the issues of food insecurity. But the resources are going through all of the communities that we serve. There is a focus in Baltimore City. There is a focus in Prince George's County. There is a focus on the Eastern Shore. There's a focus in Hartford County, all associated with how our partners have helped us identify where there is greatest need.
And what's the timeline for this kind of support? I mean, right now we're seeing a lot of money, especially federal money, to respond to the COVID pandemic. We don't know that that's going to continue. What about this money? Is this something you expect UMS to do for a long time?
This is money that will go out through this year for sure, but it is part of the larger commitment that we have made as a system to, again, invest in social determinants of health. And when you think about social determinants of health, we think about nutrition, we think about workforce, we think about housing, we think about education. And we as a system are committed to engaging with partners across all of those different determinants of health to figure out what role we should play. But this is not a circumstance that is a one and done circumstance. This is, I think, representative of an ongoing commitment that our organizations are making.
Dr. Suntha, thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Dr. Mohan Suntha is president and CEO of the University of Maryland Medical System, which recently announced it's directing $1.2 million to food insecurity efforts across the state. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. One recipient of those funds is Meals on Wheels. When I spoke last month with its executive director, Stephanie Archer-Smith, I asked what Meals on Wheels provides.
Meals on Wheels provides a nutritious meal and support services to people who are aging in place due to age, disability, or illness. So what that means is every day we deliver to someone's home a hot and a cold meal for them that is balanced and provides the proper nutrition that someone over 60 would need to remain healthy and safe at home. We also provide a lot of support services because we know that nutrition isn't the only thing that keeps people healthy, but having support services and actually ensuring that people don't feel isolated and alone is very important. So when we deliver that meal, we do a safety and wellness check, and our volunteers have an opportunity to provide some socialization for the person that they're delivering to. In addition to that, we have lots of other support services that help to decrease isolation and just make people feel a little more confident that they're not alone. We have wellness calls, for example, or companion visitors. We have care managers and case managers that offer support. And we also have pet food delivery. So we do a whole slew of things. And one of the other things I didn't mention was home repairs. And we want to make sure that the home is a safe place where they can move around safely and be independent. So home repairs is another one of those support services that we offer.
Wow, a lot. How did the pandemic change your operations?
The pandemic really brought a whole new perspective. We just were inundated with calls as things started to shut down and people were nervous to leave home. Those who may have been able to rely on caregivers or neighbors or friends, maybe that didn't feel safe anymore. Those who were going to senior centers were no longer able to get their main meal at a senior center. So we were just inundated with calls, and we also were inundated with calls from our partners, and they needed help with other people who traditionally wouldn't need food assistance, perhaps someone who was recently laid off. And so we really chose to respond to this in the best way that we could and try to serve as many people as possible. And we did that by changing our model. So typically we have a daily delivery, as I mentioned, and we went to a once a week frozen meal delivery. And that helped us then to spread the resources that we had much further.
So frozen meals delivered for the whole week.
Yes. We also were able to enlist different people. You know, people were repurposed in their positions, but also we were able to attract a volunteer base that was traditionally not available to us because we were delivering during the day, and perhaps now they have a little more flexibility in their schedule, and students were home from school. And so we had the opportunity to bring in even new people from the community. And I would say that everybody together rose to that challenge and really just came together to provide the services that people needed.
Are you still in pandemic mode?
So we are in a hybrid mode, I would say. We have transitioned back to hot and cold meals on a daily delivery for our homebound participants, but we are still doing frozen box meals for distribution centers for our partners who are still distributing meals from community distribution centers.
How did the number of people you serve change with the pandemic?
The number of people that we were serving during the pandemic was almost, you know, 2.5 or 3 times what we had been doing pre-pandemic. Pre-pandemic, we served 1,800 people a day. During the peak of service during the pandemic, we were at 3,500 people a day. And today, as we transition back to our daily delivery, we are now delivering to 2,400 people a day. And we expect that number to be steady because we know that the need existed before the pandemic. The pandemic simply shined a light on what we knew was already happening.
And what areas of the state does Meals on Wheels serve?
So we serve all of Central Maryland. We're in Baltimore City and all of the surrounding counties, Baltimore County, Harford, Howard, Carroll, Anne Arundel, Prince George's and Montgomery counties.
So Meals on Wheels is receiving some of the UMS funding. How will you use that?
We will be using that funding to fill in gaps. So there are particular areas in Baltimore City and then some of our other counties where there are particular zip codes where we recognize that the need is greater than what we've been able to address. And so we'll be using that funding to fill those gaps.
What do you most want listeners to understand about the hunger that exists in our state?
So I was really pleased to see that an anchor institution like the University of Maryland was stepping up to shine a light on food insecurity, because that is something that we all understand on a certain level, but I don't think we really understand the magnitude of it. But also that they recognized that this doesn't just affect children and families, it affects aging adults as well. And that is something that is often overlooked. Particularly our homebound aging adults are not visible. And so it's something that we don't always understand or appreciate. And I'm so happy that this is actually taking a step to address food insecurity among aging adults.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Stephanie Archer-Smith is Executive Director of Meals on Wheels. We spoke last month about hunger in Maryland and efforts to eradicate food insecurity. We have information about Meals on Wheels and the Maryland Food Bank's State Hunger Map at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. On the Record's director and engineer is Nathan Sterner. Maureen Harvey and Melissa Gear produced the program. John Ahrens wrote and recorded the On the Record theme music. Jamila Krempel is WYPR's digital content director. I'm your host, Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the Record on WYPR. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!